couple of firsts here. I don't know what happened here. It's just a bruise. I've had several people ask me, and I don't know how these things happen that I don't realize what happened, but I don't know. Secondly, I feel like a visiting minister here because it seems like it's been a long time since I shared. Thirdly, I feel like when I preach a message like I'm preparing to share this morning, that there's going to be a segment of people left out. Don't feel that way. It applies to you too. You can take applications from it. So, that being said, fourthly, I didn't even think about getting the video put up for my title and my passage. So that shows you how out of tune and how to sync I am. But that's okay. An elderly man was walking with his grown son. The old man pointed to a bird and said, "What is that?" "That's a crow, Dad." A minute later, he said, "What is that?" "It's a crow, Dad." A few minutes later, he said, "What's that?" The frustrated son, after this third time, said, "It's a crow, Dad. That is the third time you've asked me." The old man replied, "Well, when you were about 4 years old, you asked me 75 times what that bird was, and I've only asked you 3. The title of my message this morning is Parenting with Purpose. Now, do you understand why I feel like I'm leaving out a certain segment of people? Because it's like, okay, young people are sitting here thinking, well, this isn't for me. The single people are sitting here thinking, well, this ain't for me. Older people are sitting here thinking, I'm through that. But there's so many principles in here that apply to each one of us. So please don't shut it out just yet. Someone also said that if parenting was made to be easy, it should have never started with something called labor. I don't know what that means. I think the women understand that. Here's a good one. And I think my one son could probably talk better about this in teaching his children. Shouting to make your children obey is like using the horn to steer your car, and you get about the same results. And Mark and Beck, as they had children, as they started training their children, he realized they actually to lower your voice rather than even have the same tone of voice is much more effective. Shouting for sure, and not that he did, but shouting for sure was not something that was going to be effective. But how many times do we do that? The smartest advice on raising children is to enjoy them while they are still on your side. And then someone else has also said that an alarm clock is a device that is for awakening people who do not have small children. So, a few of those little anecdotes to think about. I found an old writing that said this. It had several points on parenting. The one was the duties of which parents owe to their children. The other one was the obligations to which parents are under to practice these duties. So number one, the duties to which parents owe to their children. One is that children are weak and they're helpless, and they're totally incapable of caring for themselves, and hence rises the first duty which parents owe them, that of feeding and clothing them. Number two, children are ignorant and are without understanding. Hence, they should not only be fed, but they should be taught. Children should be taught, number one, early. Number two, familiarly. I can't even say that word, and I was trying to, it just came to me sitting here, like, maybe that's why, because I was like, I don't even know what that means. But the only thing I can come up with on familiarly is that Be there. Be there much for your children. Number three, the way to be teaching them is affectionately. And number four is extensively. So some of these kind of tie in with each other. You can't teach extensively if you're not there familiarly. And then the third thing is that children are unruly and they must therefore be governed. And the fourth thing is that children are prone to evil and they must therefore be restrained. Even yours and yours and yours and yours, that little angel that you're holding on your lap. Number two, the obligations with which parents are under to practice these duties. One is they should do it for their own sakes. We as parents should teach and train our children for our own benefit. It says, for the credit of my own character. How many times do you make an evaluation or a judgment on a parent based on solely how you see their children acting? That's scary. As our children are young, and as they grow older, and they start talking, and then they want to go to a sleepover to the neighbor's house or to the friend's house. And don't think that they won't talk. They will, because they're innocent. Another obligation which parents are under to practice the duties of teaching and training is they should do it for their children's sake. You should teach and train your children for the own good of your own children. You also should do it for society's sake. Must I say much more on that except Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, New York City? I could go on a long time, even with this mother who was heralded in Baltimore for coming at her son with all kinds of foul language and slapping and carrying on. It's like, maybe you should have been there before this kid was 16 years old and you wouldn't have to be doing this. I'm not too sure that this mother is the hero that the media is making her out to be. So much for that. We should also practice these duties of teaching and training our children, last but not least, for God's sake, for the sake of our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and because that is what He mandates for us. And I'm going to be looking at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, very familiar passage. But as I think of parenting, my baby is 19. They say you don't know how you've done training your children and raising your children until your grandchildren are grown. That's a scary thought. Because that means I only have a limited amount of influence with my grandchildren. I don't have near the influence, potentially, with my grandchildren as I did with my own children. I'm not here trying to tell you that I'm a guy who's got it all together. I don't. You know that. But this is a book that I got from my 16-year-old son when he was 16, of course. I'm going to read some of the quotes out of this book this morning. But just in the front, y'all can figure it out. I'm not going to give names. Christmas 2000, this was what was written by him. Thanks for all you do for me and the rest of the family. I love you. To think that I have a 16-year-old son that would write that rather than me have to go out there and throw the F-bomb, at him, swatting at him with my hands to tell him to straighten up is humbling. And I thank God for my family. I thank God for my children. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't care where, I do care, but it doesn't matter where you came from in your life. It doesn't matter even in that thought process of how good or how bad your home life was in regard to maybe your relationship with your father. But we as adults, when we come to the age of accountability, we still have choices to make. Yeah, we have difficulties to work through, but we have choices to make. And God has given us that ability as we allow Him to come into our lives and to envelop us, to totally engulf us, that we can make right choices. Ephesians 6, if you'd like to turn to that, I'll read those four verses. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2 says, "Honor your father and your mother." This is the first commandment with a promise, "that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate." I think King James says, "Do not provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training, in the instruction of the Lord." Proverbs 22:6, also a very familiar passage. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Another way we could say that is that when he is old, when he is trained right, when he is old, he will not get away from it. It will not get away from him. No matter how old you get, the training and the teaching you've had when you were young, it will not leave you. It will be there. You can't get away from that. That's huge, parents. That's huge that we have that responsibility. Well, what is the goal? And there's just several things I've written down. What is the goal of raising children? Is it not that they grow up to be good and respectable people? And this would go even in the secular world. That is the goal of people. I don't know that there's anybody that has children and they give birth to a child with the sole intent of making that these are going to be sorry children. These are going to be low-down individuals that will go out and murder and kill and steal and destroy. I don't think that happens. So even, that's just what, in, it's what all of us as parents look at. But it takes work, doesn't it? What is the goal of us raising children? Is it not that we can, so that they can experience greater joy and greater fulfillment, greater satisfaction, maybe than even you did as a child growing up? And sometimes we do that to a fault. Is it not because it is the right thing for them to do? And Ephesians tells us, obey your parents, for it is right. So us as parents, to train our children, to teach our children, it's just the right thing to do. And is it not that it may be well with them? So it tells us in Ephesians, children, obey your parents, that it may be well with you. In other words, if you don't obey your parents, if you don't honor your father and mother, children, young people, old people, it's not going to be well with you. It won't be well with you here, and it won't be well with you hereafter. So it's imperative that we understand the importance of that. And in verse 4 it says, fathers are not to provoke, exasperate, but to bring them up. It is a deliberate action that we are to take. And it's interesting that it says fathers. Doesn't leave you mothers out of the equation. But it says we are to not provoke. And I used to think that that would mean don't do things just to, you know, don't poke at them and poke at them and poke at them until they get mad. But I believe this could very much mean to not provoke means to not neglect, to where you are so distanced, you are so removed in who your children are and to what your children are feeling that You don't have a clue, Dad. And it's talking about fathers. And then as your children grow up, they deal with issues. And it's like, where was Dad? So I would like to maybe think of that more this morning, of the what the provoking could mean. And that is a father who's maybe there, but he's just somewhere else. But to bring them up, to train, this would be deliberately, intentionally doing things to mold and to shape your children. When we throw in the towel, as it were, in our teaching process, are we saying, without saying it in so many words, that God's word, the action that God requires us as, of us as parents, really doesn't work and really isn't effective? Because how many times, brothers and sisters, when we are tempted to throw in the towel and then we actually throw in the towel in that situation, could it have been that if you would have just hung on to that towel just for one more round, that child would have broke and the situation would have been took care of? So, those are some of the what are some of the goals of raising our children. Then another one I wrote down is what makes you, O parent, be the one who calls the shots instead of your children? Why? Number one, is it because you are more valuable than these little guys? No. Is it because you're smarter? Sometimes not. Jesus said that except we become as little children, we'll have no part in the kingdom of heaven. Could it be that the reason you get to call the shots as parents is because maybe you're tuned in more to the long term of your child's welfare, of your child's life as it goes forward, years ahead? Or is it because that God's word, His truth, gives us that mandate? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Five times in that lesson in John, in 3 John, five times the word truth. So it seems to me that the word truth was the key word. But God's word is the final authority. Period. We have to understand that, brothers and sisters. And that's where we get our mandate for teaching, for training our children. To obey, to submit, to honor, to esteem, to respect. It seems like all these words are committed, but I looked it up and they're not all synonyms to the word obey. But the word obey and submit. Submit is a synonym of obey. But respect, honor, and esteem are not. But they are related. They're words that are connected. And as I was looking at this, the thought came to me is that if we as parents require of our children for them to obey and to submit to us, and then if we honor, respect, and esteem our children, get that? If we require of our children for them to obey and to respect us, there's no plan B on that. Then along with them, if we honor and respect and we esteem those little guys, will that not in turn, as our children grow up, make so that they will honor, obey, respect, esteem, and submit to those who are in authority over them. Whether it's their parents, whether it's the law, whether it's their boss. I think that might be where we're going wrong, where this world is going wrong. Is somewhere the teaching is not out there for our children to be taught that you will obey, you will submit. There's no plan B. But we do it in a way that we're fearing God ourselves. And we're recognizing that it is God's mandate on our lives. Therefore, we're going to go back to His handbook and see how He has mandated for us to accomplish this. I am amazed at how ignorant can I use the word stupid? I will. We make our children to be as parents by the way that we make excuses for their actions or their behaviors. We expect more out of our dogs sometimes than we do our own children. Does that make sense? Let me tell you a story that I read. Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man explained to Rutledge how it happened. Because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and to watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. His faithful friend, the dog, understood, for that is exactly what he did. A fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze was spread to the spot where the dog had been left. But the dog did not move. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to his master's word. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew that he would do it." Brothers and sisters, as we teach and as we train and as we require these things of our children, it is an awful, awful responsibility to be so careful of how we live our lives and how we conduct our lives and how the actions are that we take with our children. Because when we do it, when we get it right, and I have gotten it wrong so many times, but when we get it right, our children become mouth-dropping things that people look at in the restaurant. How many times are you overjoyed when you see a family of four coming in and sitting to the table right next to you that you were planning on having a romantic dinner with you and your wife? And sad to say, the exception rather than the rule is that sometimes those four children are very well behaved. Usually it's not that way. But parents, we have it in our capacity to do that. God gave us the resources, but yet we spend more time sometimes teaching and training our dogs absolute obedience than we do our own children. Well, let's move on. I've been amazed at how you can tell so often what the children are being told at home by the way they act, maybe away, and also you can tell what the children are being told about maybe a distant grandparent by the way, even these young children, how they act when they come in contact with that distant grandparent who they hardly even recognize or know. But somewhere, somehow, it had been instilled in, trained in their mind that This is grandma. This is grandpa. Here's pictures of grandma. Here's pictures of grandpa. And when they see them, they're like, wow, oh, this is great. And it's like they know them, but they might have only met them one time briefly. But it was because mom and dad spent time in teaching and training and telling these little children about grandma and grandpa. That's good. But the flip side is you have to be so careful is that it's also very telling when your kid goes over for a sleepover as to what maybe they think of your child's parents, which is you. Our children are innocent in those things so many times, especially as they're young. Mom and dad said it, so I mean, it's truth, evidently, so why should I? But it shows so much in the actions of our children as to how and to what we've been teaching and what we've been training them. Robert Fulghum, I don't know him, but he said, don't worry that your children never listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you. It only takes a period of about 10 years of neglect of responsibility or rebellion or doubt to lose a generation or a family. That's scary because that's not a lot of time that we have to teach and to train and to make a difference in our children's lives. You don't have a long time, dear ones. What kind of struggles are you giving your children? What kind of struggles are you making your children have to deal with? One of the stories in this book that I was going to tell you about says David Moore spoke at a high school with about 700 students. A 16-year-old boy moved close, looked around, see if anyone else was listening, and he quietly said to this David Moore, my dad left us when I was a little kid. Who's going to teach me to be a man? And then he began to cry. He said, I mess up every relationship that I get into. I hurt people that I care about the most. I really hurt this girl. I need to make it right, but I don't know how. Who's going to teach me how to relate to people? These were real questions that this young man, 16 years old, I mean, by then you know everything, right? And he went on to say that the day that that young man's father walked away, for whatever the reason was, it's unknown, he sentenced his son to years, or maybe even a lifetime, of trying to figure out how to relate to people. According to Apostle Paul in the Bible, dads are responsible for the social condition of their children. And notice he said, hear it again, dads, primarily dads. Yeah, I know mom is there most of the time during the day with the kids, but dads have such a huge responsibility. So instead of exasperating our children by being absentee or abusive fathers, we must equip our children practically, positionally, and personally. Again, training, which is a deliberate action on our part. What issues, dad, will your young son, your young daughter, have to grow up with in life and have to deal with because of your lack of not being there? Maybe you were there, but you're not. Maybe you're there, but you've got all these other important things to do. Maybe they want to go with you to town and you don't allow them to because of whatever. It's just easier to go to Lowe's without little guy in tow. But I am telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you from experience. That little kid will determine on his own why he's not allowed to go with you to Lowe's or to the lumberyard or wherever. It will be because of something that he has done or something how he is what he will determine as to why you're ashamed of him. And you're like, well, that, no, I never, you don't have to tell him that. They'll figure that out. They'll make their own evaluation. It's imperative, dads, that you're intentional in what you're doing. Here's another quote. If it is the duty of a child to obey, then it is the duty of parents to rule. There can be no obedience where there is no authority, and if a child is not disciplined to obedience, it suffers a moral loss which can hardly ever be completely remedied in later years. The religious as well as the moral life is injured by the relaxation of parental rule. Obedience to the personal authority of parents disciplines us to obey the personal authority of God, and I would say amen to that. The things that you neglect when you have the young kids and you think, well, they're just young, I've still got 15 more years. No, you don't. You will harm your child by your neglect. Even though, dad, you're there. You say, well, I'm there every night. I mean, I sleep at home every night. Well, man's got to go to work, and I've got to have some time myself. Really? You should have thought of that before you got married and then before you decided to have children, if you want some time to yourself. Right now is not the time when your kids are young to have time for yourself. Your time for yourself means your time for your kids. Because they will come up with a reason as to why you're not spending time with them. And it's not going to be a reason that you're going to be real proud of to think of and to write down and say, yeah, that's what my kid thought. Ain't that cool? No. To comply without understanding, it is imperative for us to teach that to our children as parents. For our children to comply to our demands, to comply, to submit, to obey to our demands, our rules, our regulations, without understanding, it is imperative. Do you understand that? There can be times in our life and when we're teaching and training our children that we can sit down and we can explain, now, Susie, Johnny, here's why mom and dad are asking you to do this. But there are other times there's not time for that. We have to teach, we have to train them that they must obey without ever understanding at that point. Very important. But so often, we make our children to be the rulers in our house because we don't want to hurt them. I understand that. And we do that to a fault. So when our children disobey, to discipline them consistently is also of utmost importance. Although, you know what I mean, parents. There's times that we want to pretend that really they didn't disobey or that maybe they misunderstood. Or. And how many times have you parents just pretended you didn't see that they disobeyed just because you didn't want to deal with it? Proverbs 19:18 talks about disciplining your child while there's still hope. Not when they're laying in a casket. There is no more hope when your child is laying in a casket. Meaning when death comes, that's final for your training on this earth. And that can come at a young age because of neglect. It can come at an older age because of neglect of training at a young age. Hurrying on, we can learn from each other if we allow ourselves to, by the mistakes or by the things done right by others. We can learn as we look out among others. But you know, so often we think, yeah, I know that you're telling me that if I do this and this, that this will happen with my children. If I train my children, if I train them this way, and I do this and this and this, that will work. But so often we as parents come back with the idea like, yeah, but you don't understand my child. And again, we make allowances. And I understand there are times, but I don't even want to say that, but there are times when there are exceptions. But I would venture to say that those exceptions are so much the exception rather than the rule. But to listen, to observe, and to even ask, but be ready for the answer when you ask someone else about certain areas in how to teach and how to train your child. Questions that beg an answer. What if you could or you would focus on building other parents up without fear? I added on the end there. What would that look like if you could know that you could go to another parent when you see how they're teaching or training or how they're not teaching, not training, and you could give some advice, not with the attitude that, let me tell you something, but with the attitude that, hey, I went through that myself. But you know what, brothers and sisters? That's usually not going to happen. Because your response is really bad when someone comes to you and does that. As a general rule. We're just like that. Let me change that. Our response. I'll include myself. What if you could or you would welcome input, criticism from others? You said you would at baby dedication. I remember, because I did a lot of them. I remember you saying it. But so often, those are just words to get you through and get you back down to your seat. What if you would take advice from someone older regarding your children, even if you don't think it would work? And again, we're not talking about anything that's sinful, immoral, or unethical. What if God said, I will build my church? He did, by the way. What about if you would decide that you can trust those in your own fellowship? Another reading here in this book that I was given. Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong and kneeling at my knee. He prayed with tears, Dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know you can. Then while he slept, I knelt beside his bed. I confessed my sins and prayed with low bowed head, Oh God, make me a child just like my little one here, pure, guileless, trusting thee with faith sincere. And in a Psalms 23, Father's Prayer from the same book, I am God's shepherd for my child, put here to supply all his needs. I help my child lie down where he will be safe and secure, and I lead him to quiet, untroubled places where his soul will be restored. I guide my child in paths of righteousness for God's sake and his own. Even when my child walks through dark and difficult places, he does not need to be afraid because I am with him, and that comforts him. I provide all the good food my child needs, even when his friends who want to hurt him are nearby. I treat him like a young prince or a princess and bring rich family heritage to him. As long as my child lives, I will always be his friend, sharing kindness and good things. I will be a leader and a role model for my child, so that at the end of life, we will live together in heavenly home. How much more than you even realize, brothers and sisters, is caught than taught in the way you're teaching and training your children. And we are affected more by the culture and the environment around us than so often we even know and realize. We must be on our guard. Parenting with purpose. Is it easy? No, nobody said it was easy. Is it rewarding? Sometimes not. Sometimes you wonder why you signed up for it, right? But it is. It is fulfilling. As your children grow, doesn't mean that your children do everything the way that exactly you would do. But as they grow and as you see them maturing, as you see them honoring God, what would you give in exchange for that? I thank God for the blessings of relationships, for the blessings of family. But it takes work. We can't give up. We daren't give up. For God's sake, we can't give up. For the sake of our children, we can't give up. And the third John 4 says that no greater joy, and he's talking about even spiritual children, but we can take this for our family. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. There's not a one of you here this morning that wouldn't say that I would give my very life if I know that's what it takes for my child to be a follower of Jesus. I think we would all say that. We want that for our children. But so often we're not willing to get in the trenches and to do those hard things, those deliberate training moments that so often we only have right there, right now, and the moment's lost. Parenting with purpose. May God help us. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, as we pause and think of how you have blessed us with family, how you have blessed us with children, our hearts are filled with so much gratitude. I pray, God, this morning that you would move through the hearts of each one of us as parents, through each one of us as grandparents, that we would take seriously the call that you have given us to teach and to train. I pray, God, through this message this morning, that we could have heard some nuggets that we can take with us and we can apply to our own lives, each one of us. Would you be honored? Would you be praised as we continue to serve you? Dismiss us from here. Keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.